Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're going to be trying to continue the fifth part of Here I Am. This is a piece of literature. Sometimes the Lord steers me in a different direction, but this is a real good piece of literature, and it behooves you to listen to it, because we're living at the threshold of the coming of the Lord, and everyone needs these instructions. We're living in perilous times, where people love their own selves. The perilousness of this day and age that we're living in is that people love themselves, and they place themselves before God. And the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, to get so swallowed up into the Lord that all we're concerned about is others, not ourselves. And it's so perilous, because people love themselves so much that they actually, if somebody offends them, it destroys them, because they can't understand how anyone as wonderful as themselves could be abused or tortured, or even forget about torture. Even if you counsel them and show them what their faults are, we have problems in some of our churches. There's young people there in the Lord, and people. Some of them say a wrong thing because they're young in the Lord, and they're full of zeal, and they think that they're doing right, because they're telling them what the Bible says, but they're not led by the Holy Spirit yet. They're not mature in the Lord. And they believe that, everyone seems to believe that they're counselors today. And they throw many souls. They smother them. They don't allow them to get us, go into a secret place and read the Word and pray by themselves. Say, no, we have to do this right now, and you have to do that. I am familiar with a lot of the different people. Everyone thinks they're a teacher. Everyone thinks they're a preacher. You just can't hardly talk to anybody. So Satan, they're seducing spirits today. And people just love themselves too much. I know that there's some people that just cannot function properly if the Lord, they're not led by the Lord. That's the major problem. If the Lord tells them to get up and they haven't had their 7 or 8 hours sleep, I mean, this is such an insult to them, because they love themselves so much that they can't, they just can't understand why God would tell them to do something, to get up and maybe pray or read or warn them about something. They just have to do what their flesh or their body tells them to do. My body is tired. Not going to do it. I can remember so many times when in my Christian life, when the Lord tells me, get up, and I say, Lord, is this you? Because I'm really wiped out. I'm so tired I can hardly hold my head up. And then the Lord say, yes, it's me. And I check it out through the blood of Jesus. And surely enough, it was the Lord. And then one time, or several times I can remember, even when I was in prison for the gospel's sake, that all the lights were out, and the Lord told me to start writing. And all I had was a little stub of a pencil, because on top of being in prison for the gospel on an IRS, a false IRS charge, I was railroaded, and the government knows that very well. And so I had to say, how am I going to write? I'm legally blind, I'm in the dark, and it's this time of night. And I said, nevertheless, Lord, you said to do it, and so I'm going to have to do it. And in my mind, I would see myself writing, and I would write very small, the letters, and I could write. I wrote the whole thing, and I had my thumb on top of my forefinger while I was writing, going across evenly across the page. And I wrote a huge piece of literature that way, tired as I was. And everybody said that they could read my writing better than the way I could when I'm looking at the writing, because I, with my tunnel vision, it's very hard for me to keep a straight line on the I've got glaucoma and tunnel vision, so it's very hard to start out on a line and then keep it going straight unless I back off really far. It's very hard to explain my visual situation to people. I'm not at all complaining or murmuring about it because I consider it a blessing. I would really hate to have to see all the stuff that's going on in this world, and the nudity and the filth and degeneracy, and possibly a lot of people giving me dirty looks because I'm telling them that religion is of the devil and salvation is of the Lord, just like the Bible tells us, and that you know, we have a lot of people that probably look. I can remember one time when I was in court, there was a bunch of police officers that were really telling all kinds of lies about myself and the brothers in the church, because we were distributing literature around the on the Sunset Strip around a bunch of these skin flicks. And a bunch of these nude bars and things like that, and we were winning souls, hundreds, even thousands of souls there on Crescent Heights, and that's where our church was. But we'd witness up and down this Sunset Strip, Hollywood Boulevard, and everything in L.A. Well, we would. So a lot of people rose up against us and everything, and I can remember that we were put in jail so many different times on false charges, and they considered us a public nuisance because the people that were running the nightclubs there, Whiskey A Go Go and all the other ones on the Sunset Strip, they paid the police officers to harass us and everything. But I had to have a lot of patience, and you had to be walking very close to the Lord and have the love of the Lord in you in order to be able to go through all those trials and tribulations back then. But anyway, when the police officers would arrest us and take us to court, here they are testifying about us. In the courtroom, and the judge called a recess so that we could go have lunch. And so Sue and I and some of the brothers went downstairs where they had vending machines, and they had coffee down there and all that. And so I didn't have any change for the vending machines, so I got up and I went over to a table where there were four guys sitting over there, and I says, do you gentlemen have any change? And they just looked at me like I was crazy because I can't see good. I'm actually legally blind. And they just shook their heads, you know, real slow. No, we don't. And I got back to the table, and Susie told me, you are so crazy. Those are the four cops that are lying about you up there in the courtroom. And I said, oh, God. I said, well, at least they probably think I have nothing but guts. That I went over there to just torment them or something, or to try to intimidate them, and that isn't me at all. Okay, but anyway, you know, we're living in perilous times. People love their own hide, and that's why they're so afraid to witness and testify. But anyway, we have some, part five of Here I Am, and then we also have some letters, as per usual. And right now, though, let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service, this tape. Oh, Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the ministry that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that it's all over the world now. It's just amazing to me, a guy from Windham, Montana, and the state of Montana, where there's not even as many people in the whole state as there is in some medium-sized towns. I think at the most there's about half a million people in the entire state, and that's just at this point in time. I have a nephew that is the sheriff there in Missoula, Montana, or near Missoula, Montana, and that area. And he tells me just when I was at my brother's funeral the other day, Father, that there's only a half a million people in Montana, grand total. And but Lord, you've really blessed this ministry, and we just see thousands upon thousands of souls, millions of them that are saved. And I thank you, Lord. It just goes to show that if somebody is willing and surrenders their entire life unto you, that you can take anybody, just somebody that lives way out in the sticks, and use them to win hundreds of millions of souls. And there's no telling what you'll do with those that surrender their lives, no matter if they're, like myself, legally blind and from the sticks, and somebody that just was just nothing. And it's just like the psalmist David, Lord, you took a little sheepherder boy and made him, set him on a high hill, made him the actual king of Israel. And what a glorious, and gave him the spirit where he was able to write such beautiful psalms. And then to give him the son that was able to write the book of Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon's. Lord, you can just do that with anybody. The prophet Amos, he was never a prophet. His father was not a prophet. But yet he was just a sheepherder and somebody that picked figs. And you made him somebody. And he's memorialized in the Bible, and we read his words to this day, and look at all the people, kings and governors and all these people that have lived and gone, and they're forgotten. And people say all kinds of evil about them, but the words that you have given to those people are so beautiful, so wonderful, so marvelous, so life-giving, so full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that people were able to be saved and refresh their souls with the enormous amount of Holy Spirit, and they were able to continue on to the end because of the Holy Spirit that was living in them. Lord, we pray that you'll anoint this tape so that people will truly be able to understand your word as never before. I pray that it will penetrate their mind, their heart, their soul, their very being, every fiber of their beings, that they will just have a desire to get further and further into you as their temple, and that they will open themselves up more and more to be a temple of the living God. We are, there's no man-made temple of God. We are the temple of the Lord, and Lord, we are your temple, and you are ours. You are our hiding place from all the destruction that's going on in this world today. Lord, we can, you're a refuge where we can hide, and you're going to make, as you say in your word, the major cities of the world a desolation, and they're going to be as desolate as a place deep in the forest, deep in the woods, to where people won't even want to go there. How horrible it's going to be for those that don't know you. But those of us that know you, Lord, we have a peace that passes all understanding, because thou art with us. We abide in you, and you, Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit, abides in us. And we have a peace that passes understanding, and the people in this world that don't know you are praying for, they really don't pray, they don't really seek peace, they just say these things to encourage one another in a manner that, or that makes them seem to look good to one another, but they'll never have true peace and serenity until they surrender their lives unto you and let you, the Prince of Peace, enter into their mortal bodies, into their spirits, into their minds, their hearts, and their souls. Lord, lift the church up today and save. Let your word reveal yourself and the beautiful gift of salvation, the unthinkable gift. It's the people that are lost never even think of salvation. They don't know what to think about it because they have never been introduced to it, or they've just never heard. And that's why you send us to preach the word into the world, that the world may be saved. You died for us and shed your precious blood for us. There's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And the blood of animals or any other person is of no value for the saving of souls. Only the blood of you, Jesus, is able to take away the former sins of the entire world. And also it is able to take away sins that are done in ignorance. So, Lord, we ask that you do all these things, that you save billions of souls, or however many, we're standing right at the threshold of your coming. We pray that you'll save billions of souls before it's everlastingly too late, and that your powerful Holy Spirit, your word, will uplift the church to continue blessing them in your Sabbath, your rest. For we're at the last hour of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now let's hear, where's the first letter from?
From Gualeguaychú, Entre Rios, Argentina. Dear Pastor.
A long name. Okay, what else? I'm glad I'm from Windham. Okay, what else?
Dear Pastor, God bless you, your family, and the congregation of saints. Today we received a letter from your ministry. I would like to know, can I get the message tapes with your messages on it?
Right, we have message tapes, and now we have CDs, so please specify when you're ordering if you'd like to have a tape or a CD, because we have both. All right, then what?
Of course, this would be a great blessing. We currently have a small Christian, of course, radio station, 102.9.
And what country is this from?
From Argentina.
Oh, so that's South America, and they have a small radio station there. We're on radio all over the world, but there's still, I'm sure, some areas in different countries that we're not exactly there, just like we're really strong here in the United States, but we need to have churches in every town, every village. Amen?
Amen.
Every city. Then what?
The voice of one who crieth in the wilderness, in which we will be airing your messages. We need more literature, Messiah books, tapes, and Bibles. God bless you, Pastor Thomas. Please feel free to call. I would like to tell you about a pastor, friend, that will be writing you. His name is Alberto from Buenos Aires. He will be requesting newsletters. Thank you for everything. I would like to hear from you.
I just found that means good air. Buenos Aires. Okay, when I was in the world, I did a lot of business with Buena Vista Films, which is Walt Disney Films, I remember back years ago when I was just real young, after I got out of Montana, that I had come up with an idea for Buena Vista Company, Walt Disney, and they really loved it. And that's a long story. I put this on another tape. Okay, go ahead now. Where's the next letter from?
From Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor, I am really very grateful to you for accepting me into your compassionate soul-winning team of your worldwide ministries and sending me these inspiring messages in these literatures. They are really the uncompromising true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, plus the Messiah book which I have received from you. I have failed to understand how we can get such revelations from God that are so detailed and clear. I have become a blessing to the people around my area because I distribute your literature. Pastor, as I explained in my last letter which I sent, we have just started a small church of which you have accepted us to be part of the team in soul winning. We are really in need of so many things. Our country, Zambia, is economically poor in terms of spiritual things, materials, and finances for us to serve our God effectively in our area. We are requesting that if you can, send us a variety of soul-winning literature, Bibles and Messiah books, a Bible dictionary and a commentary, as well as many newsletters, taped messages on audio and video cassette tapes. If you can, also include us in the monthly mailing list. We pray that the Lord continues to give you more revelations and insights in the Word of God and guides and protects you abundantly forever. God richly bless you, your associate minister, Laston from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I also pray very much. I pray, Father God, that you will continue to give me wonderful messages, insights into your Word, into the kingdom of heaven and the things that are happening here on earth, that I may pass them along to others, because of myself I don't know anything. Only that which you have shown me is of any value, and I pray that you continue it, Lord, as long, and that you allow me to do this as long as I live. There's no retirement in the gospel field. The only time that we retire is when we go on to be with the Lord. You know, on this side of eternity, we are to labor in the Lord. He wants to do His will, His work in and through us. And that means if He tells us to get up in the middle of the night and do something, no matter how tired we are. I remember also one time many times in the cells, there'd be a ray of light in one of the prisons that I was at. They used to transfer me from one to another. There was just a ray of light coming from one of the arc lights outside, and I was able to write a detailed message that the Lord had given me. I didn't know what He wanted to write, but when I'd listen to Him, and if you listen to Him intently, He'll tell you what He wants you to do. So many people think that God can't hear or can't speak. But He's the one that gave all the languages to people, and He talks to people all the time. How do you think the Bible came into existence? It was He who had dictated His word to the prophets, and to He was actually in Christ. He was, the Bible tells us, all the apostles, that the Word of God came right to them. He talks, and it's so plain and clear. And there's so many people that preach and teach that a lot of people listen to, and the messages they are getting are not from the Lord. But there are some people in the world that are receiving messages from the Lord. And you can really tell when it's from God and when it's not from the Lord. There's an anointing on it. And when it's from the Lord. And there's no anointing at all when it's not from the Lord. It actually, it's not interesting. It isn't compelling. It's not comforting. It isn't rewarding. It isn't something that can be accepted into your spirit, your eternal soul, that can cause you to walk another day, one day at a time with the Lord, if it isn't the Lord. I can assure you that what I'm saying is from the Lord. Mm-hmm. All right? All right, that's it now for letters?
One more letter.
One more, okay, go ahead.
From Lagos, Nigeria, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, after reading your tract titled Mass Suicide, I must confess that it brought cold nerves to my body. Pastors like you, who can reveal the truth, the mind of God, are needed now that we are at the close of the history of this world. How can I then, as a student of the Bible, get in touch with the book you advertised, The Messiah?
This is a piece of literature. It's a booklet. How many pages, anybody remember? About 100 and some pages. Yeah, something like that. And it tells of over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of the coming of the Lord. It has the power to actually win a Jewish person to the Lord, because it proves without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus truly is the Son of the living God and that he is God himself. Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Almighty God. And that's in the book of Revelation. And the prophecies in the book of Isaiah stated that he would be God Almighty, that would be born. And the Bible tells that he'd be born in a manger, that in the book of Isaiah it says that he would give his life for the world. It says that he'll grow up like a tender plant out of a dry ground. And it goes into so many details. The book of Daniel tells the exact day that he would be born and the exact day that he would die. And that the Bible tells that he would die with nail-pierced hands and feet, pierced in the side, sold for 30 pieces of silver. And there are so many other prophecies of the Lord in this Messiah book. It also tells, it condenses the Old Testament for you. It makes it very easy for you to understand. And it's very easy reading, and it's free. And we have it in many, many languages. So order one, it's free. You can order one by getting a hold of us on the website. What's that website?
AlamoMinistries.com.
And you can order that, and all the literature is absolutely free. And the tapes or CDs, everything is free. You know why? Because the Lord gave me salvation free of charge. And I would be a maniac to charge money for anything that I got from the Lord and give to others. I rely on the Lord to finance this church. And, if finances didn't come in enough to keep shipping all this free literature and tapes and CDs to people, I just wouldn't ship it to them anymore. I'd just come right out and say, I run out of loot, and as soon as we get some more money, I send them little notes and tell them that when we do. But so far, we're able to send, and we've been doing this for years, the literature and the tapes out, and now we have the CDs. So don't be afraid. We're not going to hassle you for money. I own a Beatles album. I used to do promotions out in the world, and if I were in, I had never put that Beatles album out. I received it from Pete Best, who was the original drummer of the Beatles. And his mother was the rich Beatle. She recorded 5 or 6 albums of the Beatles when they were playing in Germany at some club there. I believe it was the Cavern Club or something like that. And when he came to New York after he had been fired from the Beatles, he looked me up through a friend of mine, David Rolnick, who is in the record business there. He owned Mr. Maestro Records. And Dave Rolnick called me up and told me that he had a Beatle, and the Beatle wants me to promote him. And back then I was out strictly for the buck. And I said, does he have any money? He says, no. Let me have him put him on with you. And I says, oh, he was a very nice young man. And he said, will you do the promotion for me? And I said, sure, if you have any money. He says, well, I have a Beatles album. And I told him, all right. But I've never sold that Beatles album. I was saved just shortly after that, and to prove that I'm not in the ministry for money. I also have a person that has contacted me. I get people contacting me all the time to do major promotions. They have a new sound out called Hypersound, and they said, we would love to put your Beatles album on Hypersound. It would make billions of dollars. And you want to know something? I want to know that it's the Lord giving me my money. I was so happy. I was so happy. I had so much money before I was saved, and I just lost it all because the Lord frightened me when I was doing a promotion for this singer, and I was in an office in Beverly Hills, and the Lord came to me and closed off my ears and talked to my soul, my spirit inside me, and it was throughout my whole body. I could hear his voice saying, I am the Lord thy God. Stand upon your feet and tell these people in this room about the Lord Jesus Christ and that he's coming back to earth again, or thou shalt surely die. And I knew that I'd go to hell. And I've told this, you can get a copy of that. Well, they first thought I was crazy, and I've written this literature, and you can order it. And I've stated it many times on radio, and so you can have my testimony. But anyway, I realized that the Lord was there. And ever since that, he started pulling the breath out of my body because I thought I was going crazy, and my heart started beating, and he talked again to me. The Lord talks. Before I was ever saved, I heard his voice. Before the Apostle Paul was ever saved, he heard his voice. And he's talked to many people that never have been saved. As a matter of fact, the Lord is pouring out his spirit through people like myself. His spirit, the Word of God is his spirit, and so he's pouring out his spirit by me preaching the gospel to you and explaining the gospel to you so that you can understand it. God said he's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, and young men will see visions and old men will dream dreams. And that surely happened to me. I was around 30 years old when I entered into the ministry, and I'm 71 now, going on to 72. I've been in the ministry 41 years and going on 42 years. 41 years and 4 months. And the Lord has used us to, and told me these things, and I'm so happy that he does use people by coming in a most unorthodox way, any way that some people would ever expect. I never, ever believed that I'd be in the ministry. But anyway, here I am, and that's the name of this piece of literature. I'm here today because of the Lord, and I'm not in it for the money. God knows I have many other masters too that are worth a lot of money, and it just makes me cringe to think that I should charge anything for this literature or for the tapes or CDs or anything like that. I believe that I would die if I did such a thing as that. But you know, it's everyone's it's a commandment of the Lord for you to support the ministry of the Lord, whether if you believe in the ministry, if you really believe the threat of the Lord, you are supposed to help out. Now, we're going to keep it going. We're the ones that are working. We work, because the Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You're not supposed to eat. And those men are supposed to work and earn their living by the sweat of their brow. And that the women are to stay home and take care of the children. Well, I've had many uprisings from the women's lib on that particular subject. But this is the Word of God. And they're going to have to face God in judgment for despising God's Word and for despising the position that God placed them in. Why hast thou made me a woman? Or some people that don't like to work, why hast thou made me a man? What doest thou, God? You know, it's amazing to me how people think they just don't have enough fear of the Lord. And they don't believe that you're supposed to fear the Lord. These false prophets have changed it to reverence the Lord. But it's amazing how the Bible says that Moses quaked with fear. It tells of people when the Lord was speaking to them, a unholy, ungodly king, his leg starts, it says that they smote together, and his bowels emptied into his pantaloons, because there was a hand that appeared and began writing on the plaster of the walls, telling him that this was the last night that he was going to live. And when the Lord came upon me, it was so frightening, because he threatened to send my soul to hell if I didn't get up and tell people about the Lord. He told the same thing to Ezekiel. He said, if you do it, they won't believe you. But he says, do it anyway, and you'll get the same reward for explaining to them about me and the things that I'm telling you to tell them. He says, if you do it, that's wonderful. You're going to get all this credit, but if you stop doing it, all the good things that you've ever done will be wiped away, and it'll be worse for you, he says, because the condemnation will be more. And it's the same thing with people that once knew the Lord. You'll be in the lowest bowels of hell in the lake of fire because you knew the Lord, and then you left him when the going got a little bit rough. I can tell you that it's been not an uphill walk with Sue and myself, but it was up a very steep mountain, almost straight up. I saw a vision of us going up a mountain. It was just the silhouette of both of us, and it was unmistakably us. And it was me at first, and I was walking very fast up this mountain, very strong person. And then all of a sudden the vision widened, and I saw Susie walking very slow up the mountain. And I came down, it was a sunshiny day and everything, and I went down the mountain and wrapped my arm around her waist and held her hand and started going up the mountain with her. And when I did, all this very strong black colored wind started coming down that mountain and pushing, trying to push us back, but we just kept forging on. The Bible, in other words, the Lord was telling me, it's going to be very rough, it's going to be very difficult, but you just keep on climbing, keep on running. And that's what you need to do. And when we stay in the we have this vision the Lord has given us, and we need to be faithful to that vision, because if we're not, then we become unfaithful. We become as the old King Saul, who failed to do what the Lord said. He wasn't obedient, and obedience is better than sacrifice. It doesn't make any difference what we have to go through. So it's important for us all to get into God's rest, into his Sabbath. We need to sit with him in heavenly places, because when we're there, we can go through every difficult every difficulty in this world. That's why I've written this piece of literature called Difficulty Mountain. And it tells of this vision that I had of the Lord. And everything was beautiful at that time. But surely this wind has been a-blowing for a long, long time now. And Susie got cancer, and she got so feeble, and I had to take care of her and the church. I did all the cooking. I washed the dishes. I washed the clothes. She had to be taken care of. I loved her so much that I couldn't trust any nurse to be with her. I wouldn't let anybody be by her side without me being there. I loved her so much, and I still do. And she went on to be with the Lord in 1982. That was 17 years that we had been married, and the Lord gave us to each other, and it was a difficulty mountain. It was very difficult, and since then, I've had to be with the Lord. Being with the Lord isn't just when you die. You very well better be with the Lord on this side of eternity. You better be in His rest, in His Sabbath, and resting in Him to where you can hear His voice very well, because we're living, as I said before, in perilous times. And you've got to listen to Him and be faithful to the vision. And He's told us what His vision is. He wants the world saved. He wanted the people of the world to be saved. But and He wanted that so much that He died on the cross, because someone had to pay the penalty of the law. So no person could have done that, or animal could take away our sin. God Himself had to come into the world in the flesh, as it says in the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then later on it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Well, why did God become flesh? It's because God is a spirit. And the spiritual realm, there's no blood. So He had to become a human being to have genuine human blood to shed. Genuine human blood that was without sin. And He showed that by our being in the Sabbath, that God, in God's rest, that He was able to handle all the persecution, all the false accusations, all the vile people that were around Him, and to even take the horrible beating on the day that He was crucified, so that we could be healed. It was on that day that He provided healing for all of us if we are resting in Him. There are many people that say, well, I never got healed, and I prayed to Him. You must be in His rest, in His Sabbath, before this works. You must allow Him to work in and through you before this works. With God, everything is provisional. There's no, there's people that say that God just loves us unconditionally, but that is so false, it's unbelievable. With God, everything is conditional. He says, I am your friend if you do everything I say. Okay, so the if is, there's a problem with that with some people. They say, well, we just want to believe that God loves us no matter what we do. Well, I'm here to tell you, and the Word of God, your Bible, is there to tell you, if you're reading a King James Version the original Hellenic Greek, which was written by the Jews, and also the Aramaic Bible, which is the first four Gospels were written in Aramaic and Hebrew. And everybody thinks that the whole New Testament was written in Greek. No. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written in Hebrew and Aramaic. Hebrew is just a part of the Aramaic language. So, I could go on all day. I have gone on, after Susie died, I went on for months talking to the people and trying to simmer them down, because they felt like she was the one that brought all the messages and everything, and the Lord has given the mantle unto me now, and everything is just wonderful and peaceful, and there's only peace and safety in the Lord. But if you get out of the Lord, out of His rest, out of His Spirit, then there is no peace or safety whatsoever. So get into God's rest, into His Sabbath, and let Him talk to you. Let Him lead, guide, and direct you. In Jesus' name. Now let's begin with, continue here with the Here I Am, Part 5.
The kingdom of heaven lives in those who are directly led by the Holy Spirit, those who never do anything other than what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. They may sometimes make mistakes, and then might sometimes commit a sin of ignorance, a sin not unto death. But when they become aware of their sin of ignorance, which is not a sin unto death, they, by their Spirit, will immediately approach the throne of heaven, the throne of God in heaven, to confess their sin of ignorance, which is not unto death, that they might be forgiven for it. Then God will forgive and wash their sin of ignorance, their sin not unto death, away in the precious blood of Jesus, so that their conscience may become free and clear from guilt and condemnation again, as well as from the accusation of Satan. Then their hearts shall be filled again with confidence. They will continue to approach God in the Spirit boldly, and they will continue their walk being led directly by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, not only approaching God, but living in Him, in His Sabbath and rest. And that's what I mean by continuously approaching Him, by living in Him all the time. Because we have to approach Him on a daily basis to be filled with His Spirit on a daily basis. We have to be anointed with the Holy Spirit every day, because the Holy Spirit is our power. All power in heaven and on earth is given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're in Him, we are more than conquerors and are able to do whatever He tells us to do. Don't be afraid. If He tells you to do something, just do it, and you'll see that you can. So many people have no confidence in the spiritual realm, but the Lord wants you to have confidence. When He tells you to do something, just start doing it, and you'll see you will do it. I've never opened a school before in my life. He told me to open a school, and I said, Lord, I'm not a principal. Open the school, He said. And He was very powerful about saying, I've opened it up, and it's been open for over 30-some years now. All right? And I'm, Lord willing, I'm going to open up a university. And I believe that, if that happens, if He tells me to do it, I surely will. Then what?
Quote, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death, unquote. 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Quote, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, unquote.
See, this is Bible, and so it shows that once saved, there's no such thing as once saved, always saved, unless you're living in the spiritual realm with the Lord. And if you're living in the spiritual realm with the Lord, Sabbathing with Him and resting with Him, you're not going to sin. It's impossible to sin if you're living in God's rest, if you're living in the Holy Spirit. Then what?
That was Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 27. The evidence to the world that the Spirit of God is directing your spirit daily is that your children, your wife, and your home are in order, that you, the church, are in order, that your business is in order, and that your dealings with God and with mankind are in order. If all these are in God's order, you will then be qualified to call the whole world to order with the gospel. Those who are directly led by the Spirit are not influenced by the world. Almost 100% of the time you will see most, quote, Christians, unquote, react joyfully to the multitudes of worldly influences.
Right. They're because they are not resting with the Lord in His Sabbath. They're not sitting with Him in heavenly places. If you're sitting there, the world will not influence you. You will be free from the hour of temptation. We are currently living in the hour of temptation. That's why our spirit has to be with the Lord at all times. Not when we die only. It won't be there when we die if we don't have our spirit with Him today. Okay? And every day. It will not be there. Trust me on this. Okay? because the Bible says so. Then what?
But if these Christian spirits were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, they would be powerfully independent from the influences of the devil, the world, the flesh, and their self-lives. Knowledge is nothing if you're not directly led by the Holy Spirit. Knowing the Bible is nothing unless you are directly led by the Holy Spirit, and our lives are nothing unless we are directly led by the Holy Spirit.
Right, so, and knowledge is nothing. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding is nothing. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. But all this is nothing if you lose that, if you lose your zeal, if you begin being influenced by the world. The Lord says, love not the world. It's a commandment. Then what?
And our lives are nothing unless we are directly led by the Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit, the triune God, can live out his life both in us and through us, dispensing himself directly through our spirits to all the members of Christ's body, as well as to the lost world. We hear ministers that are excellent speakers, but if the message they bring is not given to them directly by the Holy Spirit, the message is meaningless, without God's life, power, and purpose. Therefore, their messages are worthless. How many people in the world today have God living and working in them through the Holy Spirit? And how many people are allowing him to dispense himself through them to the lost sinners of the world? Hardly any! Why will they not allow God to lead them directly by the Holy Spirit?
When I say hardly any, in relationship to the 5 or 6 million billion people on earth, there's just maybe a few hundred of us. All right, then what else?
The Bible tells us why.
Maybe a few thousand, but that's not many, okay, compared to 6 billion. 5 or 6 billion. Then what?
It is because these are the last days, and men are, quote, lovers of themselves, unquote, rather than lovers of God. They love sinning. They love the self-life, the worldly life. They please their flesh rather than please God. Also, they love their own ideas, thoughts, and desires, their own madness, more than wisdom, the high intelligence of God, and more than the direct leading of their spirits by his Holy Spirit. God is the one who created heaven, earth, all of us, and everything else. Man did not create these things. God's wisdom is higher, mightier, and more powerful than all the combined wisdom of every man who has ever lived on the face of this earth. His wisdom and power is so incredible that it cannot be measured. God states, quote, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts," unquote, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Quote, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. This means God is wiser and stronger than all men put together, past, present, and future. God, quote, "taketh the wise in their own craftiness," unquote, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. God states that man's quote, "thoughts are vain," unquote, because they have not one shred of the necessary substance to enter eternity correctly, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 20. They are like, quote, "thieves and robbers," unquote, because they attempt to enter heaven other ways than the only way God has provided for them to enter heaven. Again, not to have God's direct leadership to guide us every moment in the most dangerous, perilous thing is the most dangerous, perilous thing in the world. The devil, our flesh, and the world cannot be dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. The New World Order is not dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. The One World Government is not dangerous to any of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. NATO is not dangerous to those of us who are led directly throughout each day by the Holy Spirit. The terrorists, guns, bullets, and bombs are not dangerous to those of us who are led directly every moment of every day by the Holy Spirit. There is never any need for us to fear, because when we who are led directly by the Holy Spirit die, we will immediately be in heaven for eternity. The danger or peril to all those who are not directly led by the Holy Spirit is in themselves. When they die, they will immediately be in hell for eternity. This is why not being led directly by the Holy Spirit is so dangerous, so perilous. This is the exact condition of almost the entire world. Almost the entire world is living too dangerously for words. God tells it this way, quote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous, dangerous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away, unquote. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. God commands his children to turn away from those who live dangerously and perilously. In other words, God's children are to not have anything to do with those who are not even at all concerned about their souls entering heaven, those who don't care at all that they could die any moment and spend an eternity in hell, which is forever.
All right, and that is true, and I see that we've run out of time, and so because of the fact that we never know when we're going to go out to meet the Lord, doesn't it seem right for you to get yourself right with the Lord? Because of the fact that you don't know that it might happen in another minute or two from now, or maybe if you hit a car in an automobile accident or something, you don't know. What I'm going to do is ask you to all bow your heads now. Yeah, those of you that the Lord makes sense to you, God's word is convicting you of your former your sins. He'll wash them all away right now. And make you a person that is a son of God, a member of the body of Christ, the household of faith. Just say these words to the Lord now with all your heart and soul. Say to him now, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former sins, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in your precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm calling upon you. I'm praying to you. This is the same as calling unto you, Lord. And so, therefore, by faith in your word, because you are the word of God, you are the word. And therefore, I know that if you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to continue this Here I Am, Part 6 tomorrow. So stay tuned. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow. Until then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen.